We are continuing in the Gospel of Matthew on Wednesday evenings. We're actually trying to cover more than one verse every Wednesday night, and we're in chapter 2 now, and we would love for you to come and join us, but I'm going to fast forward just a few chapters, even as we look here in the Gospel of Matthew today. There are many times when we look for direction. We look for answers. There are opportunities that are placed within our path every single day, whether it be in the workplace or in our homes or in our neighborhoods or in the world. And how do we respond to those situations? Where is it that we need to be giving our energy or our attention and to go forward? So I was hoping that we would look today at this call to ministry to reinforce for us that each of us are called to be a part of God's plan, of His purpose, and that we are ministers. None of us need a special collar to signify that particular title, but that we have been called by God to minister to others. So how do we do that? What are the big things that Jesus invested His 3 earthly years in and that we still need to be modeling today and living out everywhere we go? In verses 23 and following in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus had just got through moving into a new neighborhood. Any of you remember moving recently? How fun it is to pack up all the boxes and make sure everything's properly labeled and get in its right place. Who's moved the soonest? College students coming back in the residence halls after Christmas break, I guess that would count. I don't know who. I don't think we have anybody that's. We moved 4 years ago. Anybody else move? The Cottrells got here about the same time we did. But they, oh, that's right, and they moved into a new house. So they're probably the youngest ones that. And I know that Hayden was gathering boxes for many, many times. And he knew that it was a temporary move, so he even kept some of the boxes back before he had to move again. There's something about this idea of moving and preparing for that. In 1990, Corrine and I moved 5 times in 1 year. And we're still married. That's right. That's right. It was quite a deal. It was like, Lord, where are you going to tell us to finally land? You know, where is it that we both can find employment? Where is it that you want us to be in ministry? If you even want us to be in ministry, I mean, it was sort of the beginning of our life together, and it took a while for us to find where that was going to be. Well, it just says, in a few verses before this, that Jesus was, in fact, not opposed to that either. He had settled in one place, and then he had to move, and it put him a little bit closer to this Sea of Galilee, and it was in that setting that he found some folks to come along with the journey. This Peter and Andrew and James and John. And they were busy doing their own thing. They had their own agenda. They were working in a trade that had come down through a couple of generations. But Jesus walked into their life and He turned everything upside down. In the midst of this call to ministry, we see Jesus doing a couple of things. The very first thing we see is that He was teaching in their synagogues everywhere He went around Galilee. So for us, when we think of what the call to ministry is, it ought to be to teach. There's not a day go by that I don't learn something from either Jacob and Olivia or from Elizabeth Withers or from somebody in this world that gives me a piece of information that I did not know before. Our college students are very good at giving us information that we didn't know before, if we're willing to listen and to hear, as they have all kinds of different experiences, and to be ready to listen and to learn from those. Thomas was given a wonderful book at Christmas. It was called something about, what's it? Do you remember what it's called, Thomas? Interesting Facts or something like that. Thomas comes to me and he says, Dad, he says, guess what the world record is for pirouettes standing on your hands? So, standing on your hands, you know, all straight up and down, what's the record for turning around while you're standing on your hands at any one time? Anybody got any guesses? One. 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 What would you?
25.
25. Real close. Real close. So it's not like hundreds and thousands. 30. 30 times someone has stood on their hands in a row and turned around. I did not know that fact until Thomas came. I said, well, Thomas, how many can you do? Anybody got any guesses how many Thomas can do? Of course, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but that's okay. I'll go. What? 31. No, not quite.
10.
That's exactly right. He says, Dad, I can at least do 10. I said, well, you're a third of the way there of setting a world record. 31's all you need. The teaching opportunities that come to us don't just happen in a formal setting, but life brings us teaching opportunities. It's when we're willing to share our lives with someone else, and we become richer because of it. Jovan Vlasic, is Jovan here? Jovan, we've been trying to go out and do some visitation here recently. And of all days, we picked the Tuesday of the deluge. I mean, it was snowing from the time we woke up in the morning. We were supposed to meet at 10 o'clock. And I pulled up in front of Jovan's house and I said, Jovan, I at least made it to your house. We can probably find some house to visit. But we decided to walk. So I felt like a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon just in a little bit brighter clothes. I mean, it was amazing. So we were bundled up from head to toe, and we just started our journey through Philippi, West Virginia. And we wanted to find, and Gerald Fogg had told me about one of our dear members for years, and I've never been able to meet her yet, Mary Tamulitis. And some of you have had the privilege of even worshiping with her and her husband, but she's not been here at our church for many, many years. Mary Tamulitis is 95 years old. So we got a couple of bundled Eskimos coming up to her back porch in the, 10 o'clock in the morning, not having any idea whether she's awake or home or, if she's even presentable. And her care provider meets us at the door, graciously lets these guys in. I always feel like I need proper identification. I need one of those name badges like the elders do in the Mormon church. But I told her, she actually believed us that we were from Philippi Baptist Church, and we got to go in and sit down with Mary Tamulitis. Mary has a big bay window in the front of her house, and Mary's seat is positioned so she can see downtown Main Street at all times in Philippi. There's a beautiful old white house right across the street, right next to Rite Aid Pharmacy. You've probably noticed that big white house that's there. That's her view out of her bay window on the other side of the street. All the cars going by. Not many other walkers, but even if they were, she would have seen them as well. And we got to have an opportunity to share with Miss Mary Tamulitis. I said, Mary, where did you grow up? Are you from Philippi? She said, I've been here a long time, but my home is in Gilmer County. She says, it's a little place called Steer Creek. I said, well, Mary, have you ever heard of the Rush Run Baptist Church? And she said, oh, yes, I would go there with my family many times. It's about 10 miles. I said, well, that's where my dad pastored for 32 years. So we got a Gilmer County girl here in Barber County. And I said, well, Tamulitis. Now, I don't think that's a Gilmer County name. She says, no, that's Lithuanian. I said, my husband, it's a Lithuanian kind of name. My name was Ashley. You'll never guess what her last name is. M-A-C-E. She used to be a Mace. Mary did. Mary Mace. Not a big family, her and her brother. And so we had a wonderful opportunity just to hear about Mary and who she was. And the entire time we were speaking to Mary, she was agreeing with me the entire time. And about halfway through our conversation, she says, I'm sorry, I keep shaking my head. It's my nerves. I can't stop it. I said, Mary, you're saying yes to everything I say. This is wonderful. And at 95, she says, yeah, because a lot of people probably go like this. I said, you're right, Mary. There are people that do shake their head in the other way. Beautiful opportunity. We got to learn from Mary as we just spent a few minutes. Her husband at 98 just passed away a couple months ago. And they had been, you know, they've been in that house for many, many decades here in Barber County. But it was a joy to be taught, even as we had opportunity. So it certainly will happen in the synagogues. It happens at Sunday school. It happens in small groups. It happens at youth. It happens at Bible study Wednesday nights. But I believe Jesus, there's a great word for this. I should have put it on the slide so you could actually see. You probably can spell it much better than me. Jesus was involved with a peripatetic seminary. Peripatetic seminary. All that means is learning while you walk around. Literally, that's what it means. That's the kind of school that Jesus was a part of. He taught as he lived. He taught as he walked. But he didn't just teach. He also proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. There needs to be preaching somewhere in the midst. Certainly, there's teaching, but there's also this opportunity of preaching. If you have your Bibles, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul has an opportunity to talk about this proclaiming the gospel. It comes at a very difficult time in the life of that church. I know this is hard to believe. I'm pretty sure he was talking to a Baptist church. They actually had people in the church that didn't agree with each other. Can you believe that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, here we find it. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement and that there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people. You know, we all got people, right? Wesley's got people, and Crystal's got people. Chloe's got people. Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you. Well, except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Well, I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. He puts a little qualifier in there. But anyway, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel. And not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. Now, here's what we get to do. We get to proclaim this incredible message. Jesus Christ came so that we could have life. It's not about what's over the door. It's not about our particular doctrine or the way that we choose to look at things. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And He has taken the sins of the world so that we could have life, so that all the world. Who's our people? Everybody ought to be our people. If you've not had a chance to watch a new movie that's out now on DVD, it's called The Help. Anybody see The Help when it came out a few months ago? Wow, what an amazing movie. Set in Jackson, Mississippi, in the time of the civil rights movement. And it is an eye-opener of how we are perceived and who we think our people are. And how there were folks willing to cross all kinds of boundaries and barriers to stretch out who their people were and to include everybody. We get to proclaim this message that Christ has come for all. He did that. Jesus did that over and over again. It was the message of good news. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we still lift up that same message today. So we've got teach. We've got preach. And I really wanted another word that rhymed with, so I said reach. We're going to teach. We're going to preach. We're going to reach. But really it's about healing. We reach as we heal. Or at least that's what Jesus did. And curing every disease, every sickness among the people. I do not have the qualifications of James Steele or Cheryl Blankenship or Don Schick. I don't have any medical training. Michelle Moore, you go to Michelle if you need some medical help. But we all can be a part of the healing process. It's more than just mending bones. It's about walking with people when they are hurting. It's about being there when things are not going as they should. And to be a part of that healing that requires the great physician to actually do what only he can do. I am so glad that God has gifted our doctors and nurses today. The most recent story of a sibling sharing lungs, anybody pick that up on the news? Was it from the same person? One donor, and they were able to help two sisters with lung transplants each. Whoa! Taking lungs out of one and so that life can continue? What? That's amazing. Doctors hold hearts in their hand and move it to another body so that life can continue. Praise the Lord. But all of that also connects with the great physician. He still wants us to be in the healing business. There's a lot of wounded people. We find ourselves wounded from what other people say, from what they do, and to be a part of healing. We're going to teach. We're going to preach. We're going to reach and heal in the name of Jesus. So how does that have anything to do with the problem I've got facing me tomorrow when I walk into my office? Well, that's all a part of God's plan. Or what's that got anything to do with me studying for that next econ test that I've got to do? Well, you do that. You do what is set in front of you to do. But you do that realizing that you are not walking alone. And that we get to walk through this life together. You are called to be ministers. Each and every one of you. In your neighborhoods, in your families, in your workplace, at the university you happen to attend right now, We truly had a whiteout that kept us from the whiteout. We were trying to get to a ball game there on Saturday, and it just didn't happen. In fact, I guess it was the referees that was the holdup. They had to come all the way from Pittsburgh or somewhere. You know, JD was ready. You know, he had everything prepared. But it's really hard to go forward without referees, you know, as they go forward. Yeah. And life's going to throw things at you. It's how we respond. And let's respond together. Let's respond and say, you know, I realize that God has a plan for us, and He's called us to minister in the midst of that plan. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, I am so thankful that You sent Your Son. And when He was here, He was in the calling business. He walked around and He found individuals. And He said, I want you to follow Me. I want you to be fishers of men, of women, of children. I want you to reach out. I want your nets to be in such a way that they are cast. And when they come back with individuals where we can teach and preach and reach and heal in Your name. 15,000 people in Barber County, at least, swells to 1,000 more twice a year. What a privilege to be here and to know that there is a calling for us here. And then that calling extends to Harrison County and to West Virginia and to the United States and to North America and to the world. May we go as Your ministers, serving the one true living God, teaching, preaching, reaching in Your name. And all God's people said, Amen.